Okay, tonight's shiur and the rest of the shiurim throughout the summer are sponsored by Ben Yal England. Last night we discussed a lot of Klei Seuda issues. The last Klei Seuda issue that we did not yet discuss is the issue of businesses and caterers, restaurants. I'm going to leave that aside for now because we're going to do that in the shiur. In the shiur that we discuss darkei kinyanim, what kinds of kinyanim you need to make, on items in order for them to be chayiv in tevila, who owns it. We'll get to it. We'll discuss that issue when we get to that. That will be a whole separate shiur. So we're going to leave that aside for right now. And we're also going to skip over right now. Maybe we'll get to it later tonight, if depending how quickly the next part of the shiur goes. We're also going to skip over the different materials that kelim are made from, and that discussion of which materials are chayiv in tevila, which are not chayiv in tevila, and what do you do when you have kelim made of multiple materials? How do you determine if they're chayiv in tevila? And I want to skip straight to the electrical kelim issue. However, before we get to that, the last thing we discussed last night was Snapple bottles, packaging, things like that, cans. What we never discussed, which is a very, very important and common shaila, is kelim chad pa'amiyim, disposable kelim. So most disposable kelim is not an issue because they're made out of plastic. A plastic cup is not going to be a problem. But plastic plates also, obviously, paper plates, not a problem. Those things are fine. But there are cooking utensils that are very, very popular, aluminum pans that are chad pa'ami, that you use once. They're made out of metal. Aluminum is probably a metal. We'll discuss that also. But, yeah?
It's the Havamin to say it's not a problem. You're still using it.
Okay, so good. So now the Havamin to say it's not a problem is that most people don't do it. So now let's figure out if there's any heter as to why most people don't do it. Meaning, there is a... I'm told by one of the Rebbeim in this yeshiva that Rav Schechter holds, they need tevila. I never heard Rav Schechter speak about it directly, but I'm told that Rav Schechter holds that you need to do tevila on aluminum pans, even to use it the first time, let alone using it a second time. And one of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva here told me that he was in Rav Schechter's apartment once, and he saw Mrs. Schechter take out an aluminum pan, put some food in it, and put it in the oven, and he said, "Rebbetzin, doesn't Rav Schechter hold otherwise?" And she said, "Yeah, when Rav Schechter cooks, he could decide that he wants to do the tevila." But it's par for the course in terms of but the question is, I mean, she's a pretty firm person also, right? And is there any heter? All of our, my wife is a pretty firm person. She doesn't do tevilas kelim on the aluminum pans before she uses them. And, there are a lot of very firm people that don't do tevilas kelim before they use aluminum pans. Is there any heter for that? So I neglected to put actual marmakomos on this topic in this packet, but I just felt like this is the most appropriate time to talk about it after speaking about the Snapple bottle. So I'm going to just tell you what it says. He has a major discussion in the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, which he has a major discussion on everything, but he has a major discussion on this topic. He has a footnote that goes about two pages discussing this issue, and I'll read you just what he says in the heading, and then I'll tell you a synopsis of what he says in the discussion. In the heading, in the top part, it works like many Sfarim work, where it's just the basic halacha on the top, and then extensive footnotes. So in the basic halacha, in Perek Aleph Os Zayin, Kelim Ha'omdim L'Shimush Chad Pa'ami, ubda'ato lezarkam li'achar ha'shimush, a kli that you're going to use just once and you intend to throw out after you use it, einam tzrichim tevila, do not require tevila. Lefichach, tzlachot, kosot, uchadome, ha'omdim l'shimush chad pa'mi, v'chein kelim miniyar aluminum, and similarly, kelim made out of aluminum foil, shezarkam li'achar shemishtamish bem, that you will throw out after you finish using, einam tzrichim tevila, do not require tevila. So what's the explanation? So he quotes the Minchas Yitzchak as a tshuva in Chelek Hei Simen Lamed Beis Os Aleph, where he says, even though generally speaking, we saw already that the Rama holds that even if you have a kli that you're not planning on using for seuda, you have a knife, let's say, that you plan on using to chop wood or something else, and then a derech arai, you decide to use it for a seuda here and there, the Rama says you need tevila. You can't just go use it for a seuda, even if only once or twice. If even though primarily you're using it for other things. So generally speaking, the fact that you're only using it once is not a heter. generally speaking. So says Minchas Yitzchak, granted that that's true, he says, but that's only true when it's ra'ui l'tashmish keva, when it's ra'ui to be used on a consistent basis. But these kelim are not even ra'ui to be used on a consistent basis. Why does it need to be ra'ui to be used on a consistent basis? So Minchas Yitzchak explains that the definition of a kli is something that's meant to be used time and time again. If it's something that's meant to be used once and then thrown out, so then it's not going to have a shame kli. Now this entire discussion hinges on a shita of the Shev Yaakov, which is like, there are several shitos in Tevilas Kelim that are like very, you know, if you learn Tevilas Kelim, you need to know these shitos. Like you need to be able to say, oh, the Shev Yaakov, you know exactly what he saw. The Yeshuas Yaakov we saw already, right? The Yeshuas Yaakov about the difference between the Chiv Dar Raisa of being Tovel Kli versus the Yisid Rabbanon to use the Kli that hasn't been Tovel. That's a big one. The Yeshuas Yaakov, we'll see a Chalkas Yaakov tonight. That's also a very, very big one. It just struck me that they're all Yaakovs. Okay, but there's a shita of the Shev Yaakov. The Shev Yaakov's shita is that whatever is not going to be Mekabel Tumah, doesn't have a shame kli in regards to Kabbalah's Tumah, those same rules are going to determine that it doesn't have a shame kli in regards to Tefillas Kelim. That is not Pashut, it's not agreed upon by everybody. That was the Shita of the Shev Yaakov, that's what this Minchas Yitzchak is based on. That if it's not going to have a shame kli in regards to Kabbalah's Tumah, it's not going to have a shame kli in regards to Tefillas Kelim. Now, this is very important in the sense that very often when we learn Mesechtos, like Meseches Kelim, we think we're learning things that aren't Nogei Lemaisa at all. And in fact, if you hold that there are these connections, it's very much Nogei Lemaisa. To know what's called a Kli and what's not called a Kli is very much Nogei Lemaisa. There are several parts of Taharos, even though many parts don't seem Nogei Lemaisa, there are several parts of Taharos that are Nogei Lemaisa. In Hilchos Nida, we have a din that only something that's Mekabel Tumah can be a problem with a kesem. If there's a stain, a woman stains on something that's mekabel tumah, so it's only going to be problematic if it's mekabel tumah. If the item itself that the stain is found on is not mekabel tumah, it's not going to be problematic. So it's important to know what's mekabel tumah, what's not mekabel tumah. There's several areas of taharos that are actually very much halacha lemaisa, and this would be one of them. So he suggests, he brings several rayos that in regards to tumas kelim, something that's meant to be used only once, wouldn't have its status of a kli in regards to tumas kelim, the mele won't have a status of a kli in regards to tevilas kelim. A gevaldika kula, right? It's also a gevaldika chumra. Because if you're going to say that a disposable kli doesn't have the status of a kli in regards to tevilas kelim, it also doesn't have the status of a kli in regards to netilas yadayim b'kli, and it also doesn't have the status of a kli in regards to making kiddush, and with a cup, with a kli that holds wine. So it's yatsa kulaso chumraso. If you accept the kula, so I think we discussed once disposable cups for kiddush. I think it was a 10-minute halacha or something we had on disposable cups for kiddush, and there are several shitos about it. Moshe is not so excited about using disposable cups for kiddush, but he says pshas adchak, maybe you could still use it pshas adchak. Okay. Furthermore, he says that this whole heter that we just quoted from the Minchas Yitzchak is only kishebedaito lezarko la'achar shimush zeh. That's only if you plan on throwing it out after the first time use. But if you're going to use it again, then that's not called a shimush arai. If you're going to use it a second time, then it's going to be chayv and tefil. It's not called a shimush arai. And that's why there are many poskim that say when it comes to the aluminum pans, you can use them the first time, but you can't use them a second time unless you do tefilas kelim. Because once using them a second time, you're showing that that's a tashmish keva for you, and therefore it's going to be a problem. And then he quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. It's very interesting. This sefer was written a long, long time ago, before all the volumes of Igros Moshe were printed. So he quotes a lot of tshuvas of Rav Moshe from a Torah journal, the Torah Vahora'a, that were later published in Igros Moshe. So I don't know exactly where in Igros Moshe this tshuva is. Probably shouldn't be too hard to find. But in the Torah journal, the Torah Vahora'a, Chaveres Beis, page 40, he quotes, and this tshuva definitely made it into Igros Moshe later on, he quotes from Rav Moshe Feinstein Shlita, right, that's how old the Sefer is, he quotes from Rav Moshe that the Rambam writes that a kli that can only be omed l'zman mu'at doesn't have a shame kli, even though you can use it multiple times. But it's only omed l'zman mu'at. That it's only omed to stay. It's in the beginning of the Perek Chaf of Kalim that the Rambam says this. So he says Chazinan de below miskaymin el zman kotzer, that if it's only a short-lived type of thing, afshe yishtamshu bem eze pa'amim, even though you'll use it multiple times, ein mekablum tuma. V'im kein kalim elu sheyefshar l'shamish bem af lefi yadchak. Rak beis v'gimel pa'amim ein mekablum tuma. So if it's something that you can only use two or three times, you can't use it forever, you're only going to be able to use it a few times, so it's not going to be mekabel tuma. So according to Rav Moshe, you're able to use aluminum pans even several times and not have to be tovel them, yeah? Okay, so that would be Rav Moshe Shita. Then he quotes the Shita of the Debre Tzina Rav. Debre Tzina Rav is the Tshuvas Be'er Moshe, of Moshe Stern. He was the brother of the Betzela Chachma, the Rav Betzalel Stern. So Rav Moshe Stern was the Debrecen Rav, lived in Borough Park, probably originally in Debrecen in Hungary, but I think his son still gives hashkachas. Sometimes the hashkachas from the Debrecen Rav, it's not him because he's dead. But anyway, in the Tshuvas Be'er Moshe, Chelek Gimel, Simen Nun Hey, he writes as follows, that he doesn't think that this whole thing, this whole idea of talking about kalim that are not that are not going to be used on a consistent basis, he doesn't think any of these heterim work for a real kli gomur. He says if you have something that's a borderline kli, that whether it's not even definitively a kli, it's like it doesn't have a base kibul, and it's not, but something that's shaped fully like a kli and has the full appearance of a kli, he says, would be makabled kli gomer kigon kos minayir plastic shem kelim gemurim shurim lishtos bem kikola kosa shabaolam. You could drink from them like any other. It's not, the drinking is no less of a drinking when you drink from a plastic cup as when you drink from a glass cup. He says makabled tuma vidin kli aleim. He thinks in legabi the halachos of tumentara it would be makabled tuma and it has a full status of a kli. So basically, what we've outlined are several shitos, three shitos, in regards to the aluminum pans. One shita is that if you only plan on using it once, then it does not need tevila, it's going to be fine. Another shita is, Rav Moshe, I don't care how many times you want to use it, it can't be used forever, it's meant to be, you know, to be thrown out after, you're going to have to throw it out after a few times, and therefore it's not a problem, and it won't require tevila, according to Rav Moshe, even if you use it several times. Debre Tzina Rav says, no, you need tevila even the first time, because since it's shaped like a kli, it functions like a kli, it's a kli gamor, none of this discussion applies, and therefore it's going to be mekabel tuma, it's going to require tevila. So those are the various shitos they have out there. I would assume that even Debre Tzina Rav would say, I didn't look up the tshuva, but I would assume he would say tefila without a bracha, just in case Rav Moshe is right. You know, just in case the halacha is that it doesn't require tefila. By suffix tefila, we generally do tefila without a bracha. Yeah?
I don't remember if we covered it last night, but let's say like a metal can, like a soda can. So we would say that would require...
So that's the same thing as a Snapple bottle, right? So we discussed
it. But if we're saying it's a temporary thing like this, and it's not...
Although it might be even better than a Snapple bottle, I'll tell you the truth. Because what was Moshe's whole svar with the Snapple bottle is that you made it a kli. By the metal can, you really did make it a kli. Meaning it had no Pesach, it had no opening until you made the opening. It never had an opening. The metal can is not made in a way where it was open and then they sealed it shut with the with that little, you know, circular thing, right? It's made in a way where they make a circular indentation, but it was never really open. So you actually probably are the first to make it a kli. And therefore, by the metal can, probably there wouldn't be anyone, right? If you're the one that made it a kli, then the mistama wouldn't be...
But according to this Rav Moshe, that it's something that's not really used multiple times or something like that, it would not be considered a kli, right?
It wouldn't be considered a kli anyway, right? Right, correct. Sample bottle is a more serious issue because it's glass. It's like a really bona fide clean.
How do you define, let's say, by aluminum pan, its second use in the second time?
That's a good question. It's a hard question. Debre Tzina talks about, like, by these plastic cups, he says, I don't know, you drink from it 3, 4, 5 times during the meal, you keep re-pouring. So is that one use, or is that 3, 4, 5 uses? It's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, you put away the leftovers in it, and then you take it out, put it back in the oven. My guess is that it's once all the food has been emptied out and then you refill it with food. That would be the definition of the second use. That's my guess. Yeah?
The argument of the Debre Tzina is that the kli needs the tefillah even before the first use because it's functionally considered just as...
It's like any other kli. Basically, Debre Tzina's argument is what? Just because we're so rich in America that we can afford to throw away really great kalim, that means that there's no din of tefillahs kalim? Let's say we were so rich that we threw away our silver after every meal. So the silver wouldn't require tefillas kelim. So of course it does. Same thing, you know, with the glass Snapple bottles and things like that. It's a perfectly fine glass bottle. We just happen to be in a very affluent society, and these things happen to be very cheap, that we're able to throw them out. But that doesn't take away its shame kli.
Wasn't considering the fact that drinks in glass do taste better than plastic.
Drinks in glass do taste better than in plastic. So you're saying that it's maybe not a kli gomer because it's made out of a chomer that actually. Right, you have. It's true. Snapple and plastic is not good.
Coca-Cola
it's not
glass
the same.
Bottle.
What?
Coca-Cola in a glass bottle.
Right. Oh, really? I'm not so sensitive with Coca-Cola. I guess it depends how you brought up. But okay, I hear that. I hear. Okay, let's move on to electrical kelim. The shita to know about electrical kelim that everyone always quotes is the shita of the Chalkas Yaakov. Shita of the Chalkas Yaakov, everyone quotes, and this is what they quote in his name. Now we have to go take a look and see if he really says it. He says it partially, but not as widely as he's often quoted. The Shita of the Chalkas Yaakov that everyone quotes is that any electrical kli does not require tefillas kelim because it only functions when it's plugged in, and since it only works when it's plugged in, it's mechuber lekarka. Anytime it has a shem kli, it's mechuber lekarka, and if it's mechuber lekarka, it's not mekabel tuma. Anything is mechuber lekarka is not mekabel tuma, and therefore, if it's not mekabel tuma, if you take the Shev Yaakov, anything is not mekabel tuma, doesn't require tefillas kelim, so it's not going to require tefillas kelim. That's the sheet that they quote from the Shev Yaakov, and that's what some people will tell you. That's the sheet that they quote from the Chalkas Yaakov, from Rav Breish, who's a Rav in Switzerland, and that's what people will tell you. Oh, according to Rav Breish, you don't need a tovel your urn. You don't need a tovel, right? Because these things are mechuber lekarka. We have to take a careful look at what he really says and whether how widely he himself applied this psak. Let's take a look. Now, it's important to realize, Poskim will talk about toveling something like this, a sandwich maker, and they'll talk about something, they don't talk about something like this, because this is newer. A Keurig coffee machine, right? They don't speak about that so much, because these kinds of kelim are becoming more and more popular, not just this particular machine, but any sandwich makers are going to be more like this than like this, in the sense that they're going to have a little screen that will, I don't know if they already do, but if they don't already, they will soon. They'll have a little, you know, a little screen that tells you when it's ready with little graphics on it, and meaning it's not going to be just some wires covered by plastic. It's going to be a computer with like computer chips inside of it, right? It's a totally different ball game in terms of the metzius of what would happen if you would dip this in the mikveh versus what would happen if you dip this in the mikveh. You dip the sandwich maker in the mikveh and you let it dry for a week, it will probably be okay. You dip this in the mikveh, as my brother once told me, it's like dipping your laptop computer in the mikveh. It will never be the same. It will never work, right? That's a davar pashut. I don't know anyone who's tried it. Yeah.
If a person has something that's supposed to be told that he just never did, so that's an isser, like every moment isn't, like what just with the Hagdara with the isser?
You're not allowed to use it without toveling it, so don't use it anymore without toveling it, go and tovel it.
You're right, eat the food, that wouldn't necessarily be, it's just the usage of
right, although you can't use it to eat the food, you know what I'm saying? Meaning, if it was a pot that made your food so that you could put that food on your dinner plate and eat that, but if it's the fork that you want to eat dinner with, you can't use that fork to eat your dinner.
And we didn't say that you're revitalizing now, say, as long as you have the kli.
We discussed that possibility, depending on that, based on that Yeshua's Yaakov, the idea that there's two inyanim, the inyan of the chi of tvila and the Yisr Shtam Shuzdat tvila, then maybe there is such an idea. The Chalkas Binyamin wanted to say something like that. Not so pashut, right? I think pashut, we assume, not that way, that you don't have to do it immediately as soon as you get the kelim, that they have to be brought to the mikveh right away. It's a good idea so that you don't get confused and put them into use before you have a chance to do tefillah, but okay. So let's discuss electric kelim. Take a look first at the Shevet HaLevi, which is source number 38, Rav Vosner. So Rav Vosner references this famous sheet of the Chalkas Yaakov. He was asked about... Dud shemevashlim bo mayim al yedei elektri, a hot water urn, right? Something that you cook water in through an electrical it's an electrical appliance. So what do you do in terms of tefillas kelim if, after all every electrical appliance you'll ever have will come with a warning on it that says, do not immerse in water. And you always think, when they have warnings like that, what kind of moron would immerse such a thing? So it's all of us, it's the entire Orthodox community that contemplates immersing it in water. So but it says, do not immerse in water, you're going to destroy it if you immerse it in water. So what do you do? Rav Ozner was asked. So says Rav Ozner, again, in Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Bey, Simen Nun Zayin, Kvar Nishalti Al Zev Chayotzi Bahar Bepamim. He says, if I have a nickel for every time I've been asked this question, I've been asked this question a lot. Upashut, Di'imu Kedair Shem Vashon Bo, Oshar Klei Su'ud Al Piyam Vur Yodei Sim Kovchav, Ein Shum Heter Lepatro Mitvila Michash Kilkul Chelek Elektri. Just because you can't tovel, it doesn't mean it doesn't need tvila. Just because you can't tovel, it still requires tvila. So what? You'll destroy it? So you'll destroy it. So don't buy it. If you want to, there's no heter here. He says you have electric frying pans that definitely, if you tovel it, will get destroyed. So he says, so a Jew can't own such kelim. The only way you can own them is if you build it and you assemble the electrical component and you put the electrical component into the kli after you tovel the non-electrical component, or yiskenu asam shuv, or you break it through the tvila and then you figure out a way to fix it. Va'al yisi acha libcha lahatir al pi mi sharotza lomar dekivan de mechubarim al yidei achut lekosel nikra kliya mechuba lekarka shapatim in a tvila. Don't let your heart lead you astray and believe that just because there's a plug that plugs into the wall that's called mechuba lekarka and mele it's not going to require tvila. Dila anias daiti ze hevel veros ruach. It's not good. He doesn't like it. The gufa de kli talush shechibru lekarka potter minat vila gam kein mefukpak. He says, let me ask you something. Let's say you have a real kli that you then actually cement into the ground. Does that kli not need tevila? He says, not so pashut. That's a major discussion in the poskim. We saw the Aruch HaShulchan had a discussion about this. And according to many poskim, the Aruch HaShulchan amongst them, by the way, if you have a kli that was talush from the karka and then became mechubar lekarka, it still requires, with cement and everything, you really attach it to the ground, it still requires tevila, and you can't use it without tevila. So he says, the whole basis of the kula is not even true. And he says, v'hadi dan pshita da'al pi alacha lo nikra mechubar. He says, besides that, plugging it into the wall doesn't make it mechubar lekarka. I'm sorry, it's a very flimsy chibur. That's not something that's called mechubar lekarka. So anyway, that's not going to work. L'inyin zeh l'pacha mitzvila v'ein l'harich b'pashut. He says, I would write a longer tshuva if there was something to write about. But this is a davar pashut, there's nothing to write about. It's a davar pashut that it requires tefillah. So he was fed up with all the times he's been asked about this. Now, who's he referring to, obviously, when he talks about this Mechubar Lekarka? He's referring to the Chalkas Yaakov. That's the one who said this this Shita. He was nice enough not to quote him, but that's the one who said this Shita. Now, what I'm going to show you right now is that the Chalkas Yaakov never said this about a hot water urn. Chalkas Yaakov was asked this Shaila about a Kli that most of you have never even seen in your lives. When I was in 8th grade, I had a Rebbe in South Shore by Pressman, phenomenal Rebbe, and he used to always drink hot water, hot tea. I think it was hot water, it wasn't even tea, just hot water every day, and he needed it to soothe his throat. He was a big bar mitzvah teacher, so he would teach shir in the morning, and then the whole day he'd be teaching kids bar mitzvah, so his throat was always hurting him. So he always had he had a microphone, and he was very sensitive with his voice, and he had a cup of water, and he had this thing that plugged into the wall. And it was just two coils, and he would just you would stick it into your cup of hot water. The coils would heat up, you'd stick it into your cup of water, and it would keep the water hot. Old Europeans, you know, they can't handle what we call hot water. You think that's hot? That's not right. It needs to really be boiling, boiling water. If any of you have grandparents that are like that, it's a totally different, so he couldn't just get hot water from the office, because then by the time he brought it back to the classroom, it wasn't hot anymore. So he had to... he kept this thing stuck into it till the moment he was ready to drink from it. I don't think they sell those coil things anymore, probably because they're extremely dangerous. Right? You plug them into the wall, and it's an exposed coil that could burn you. So, but that's what the Chalkas Yaakov was asked about, and he said, look, the only way it could ever work, it doesn't do anything other than when you plug it into the wall. It can't work when you don't plug it into the wall. Mela, it's going to be called Mechubar Lekarka. Now, what's Rav Vazner's whole time. Rav Vazner says, even if you have a kli that you're then mechuber, that you then connect to the ground, that would require a tefillah. Chelkas Yaakov might say, you're right. If you take a pot, a bowl, a dish, that was a perfectly fine, usable kli, and then you connect it to the ground, you're right. That would require tefillah. You can't use that without tefillah. I'm talking about something that before you connect it to the ground doesn't do anything. It's just a coil. You can't do anything with it until you attach it to the ground. So it's not a kli until it's mechuber lekarka. So in that kind of case where it's not a kli until it's mechuber lekarka, then it's going to be good. Then it's not going to have a shame kli. It's not going to require tefillas kalim. That's a severe limitation on the way the Chalkas Yaakov is actually quoted. So people quote him about urns and sandwiches. He says beferish about an urn, that an urn definitely doesn't have this heter. A hot water urn. Why? Because if you don't plug it into the ground, it still holds water. Like any water bottle would hold water. And it could still allow the water to come out with the spout. Like any water bottle could hold water. It's no different. So it's a perfectly viable kli even before it's mechuber lekarka. That etz is not going to help you over here. Says the Chalkas Yaakov. Now, I was misupik, what about a sandwich maker? Do you say, well, it could hold bread and therefore it's a viable kli before you, or you say, no, no one would ever use this if it didn't have the, like, you use water bottles, but you don't put bread in, like, little slices. I don't know, maybe if it slices it, but it doesn't really slice it, it just indents it, which is kind of annoying, actually, but maybe if they made ones that actually sliced it, it would be better. But I don't know. That's a good shaila. I also want to talk about this because this is a huge thing. In the five towns, you're not allowed in without a Keurig coffee machine. So the shaila is: does this require tefillah? See, the game we're gonna have to play is find the metal on the Keurig. Most of it is plastic. It looks like metal. It's all plastic. Except this is metal. It's a handle. Oh, pot in there. Hazelnut decaf. Okay, this is metal. This is metal. This just holds the cup. So definitely wouldn't require tefillah. And there's in here, there's a pin that you see. Oh, we have it. It's good. The way it works is you put one of these pods. Many of you may not have not seen this. Those of you who aren't coffee people, you put one of these pods in here. In here is all the coffee. The water then goes through the pod. And as the hot water goes through the pod, it comes out on the other end. Hole in the other end, and it comes out as coffee, right? So the metal thing that punctures the pin that punctures the pod seems to be made out of metal, right? And somewhere there are screws that are made out of metal, and somewhere inside there's something heating it up. You can't see it, but somewhere inside there's something heating it up. It must be a coil that's made out of metal, obviously, right? So those are the metal components of this kli. Does this now require tefillah? Okay, so let's think about, now that we have all the different kinds of electric kalim we can think of, we have our sandwich maker / foreman grill, which is going to have the same din. We have our urn, our hot water urn. We have our mazlig, our coil that, again, we don't really have, but is going to be very nogeo when it comes to talking about this guy. Right? The least sophisticated kli is going to shed a lot of light on the most sophisticated kli, because the only part that is likely to really need tefillah in this thing is that coil. So then we have to discuss what the status of a coil is, right? That coil is useless until you plug it into the wall. So according to the Chalkas Yaakov, l'chora, this should not require tefillah, right? You think about this thing, the pin that punctures the hole, so that we already discussed. That for sure does not require tefillah. Why? Pin that punctures the hole in this guy, why doesn't it require tefillah? Anybody? What's it most like? It's not touching the food, and therefore it's just like a can opener. It's just opening the package. Also, there's another pin on the bottom. It's a can opener. It just opens the package. So it doesn't do anything with the food. So that part, we're not required to be there. What?
Doesn't the water go through the pin?
The water goes through the pin, but the juices from the tuna fish might touch the can opener also.
But then the coil touches the water. Meaning, if you're going to define the water as food or not food. Meaning, if we're defining the water as not food.
The water is food. No. The water is definitely food.
The water is touching the pin.
The water touches the pin, but that doesn't help it function. You don't need the water to touch it. It doesn't help the water when the water touches the pin. It's like my iPod might fall in my soup, but that doesn't mean that the iPod now becomes a clay suda. If it doesn't do anything to my soup in a positive way, then it's not...
The transportation isn't considered anything positive?
The pin doesn't transport the water.
The,
the water goes to
your... There are tubes, plastic tubes on the inside that transport the water. Right? It just happens to pass over the pin in order to get to where it's going.
Okay.
So, okay? So let's take a look at the Chalkas Yaakov. Let's do some Torah, and then we'll go back to discussing the actual Kalim. So what does Chalkas Yaakov have to say? So he was challenged by about a hot water urn. So he said, first off the bat, Os Aleph in source number 39, Da einat zrich lefnim, de pshita da kli mechuyiv betfila. Someone asked him about a hot water urn, he said it's a davar pashut, it needs tevila. So anytime you hear someone say, oh, according to the Chalkas Yaakov, your hot water urn doesn't require tevila, you can show him, no, Chalkas Yaakov, your deyasim mem gimel, is klar, that it does require tevila. Dipshita da kli mechuyiv betfila, kemvort lehedya avol dezari nehen beiz. The Gemara talks about things that heat up water. And the Gemara says those things require tevila. Now, he goes on to say, what about the electrical component of the hot water urn? Meaning, maybe you could say that if the urn has a base kibble where you keep the water, and then underneath there's an electrical component that actually gives it the heat, that heats up the water, so maybe you could say the base kibble part is the part that needs to go into the water. The electrical component doesn't need to touch the water, because that's not a clay suda, that's just like the fire. And therefore, if you have a hot water urn that the bottom of it is where the electricity is, you could dip most of it in and leave the electrical part out of it. Or let's say you have a sandwich maker, but not one that opens like this, like they all do, but one that opens to a full 180 degrees. Can you stick in only the part that actually touches the food, leaving out where all the electric is stored? Because that's just the fire. That's not the kli itself. So he says he thinks that the electric part needs to go in. He says he thinks it needs to go into the water. Because, he says, Vada, it's ki'ilu lo taval, if you don't put the electrical part in. And he quotes the Rambam, Perek Aleph of Mikvaos, Dim hichnes etzba'o b'mayim, Dim lo hichnes etzba'o b'mayim, d'lavi tevila min haTorah. If a person goes into the mikveh and leaves one little finger sticking out of the mikveh, it's not tevila. Tevila requires that you dip the whole thing. Unlike hechsher kelim, when you do hagala and you're trying to remove blios of iser, you don't have to do the whole kli at the same time. You can do one half of the fork and then the other half of the fork, because you're just trying to remove tam that's inside that kli. But when it comes to tevila, the nature of tevila b'mikveh is that the entire thing has to go in, and therefore this, since it comes as one unit, it's considered one unit, the entire thing will have to go in. There's no heter to keep anything out. That's a very important thing. Let me just make one point over here. There is a halacha by tevila that a chatzitza is permitted in a beis hastarim. What a beis hastarim is, there are certain parts, let's say by a human being, there are certain parts of the body that are exposed, that are always visible. There are certain parts of the body that are never exposed, like your intestines and your heart. There are other parts of the body that are sometimes exposed, sometimes not, like the inside of your mouth, the inside of your ears, the lower part of your nose, armpits, things like that. In those middle areas, the beis hastarim, you're not allowed to have a chatzitza. You're not allowed to have a chatzitza, but you don't actually have to have the water get into those parts. That's by tefilas adam. That's when a human being tovels. What about a beis hastarim of a kli? So the halacha by a beis hastarim of a kli is that a chatzitza is not a problem. You're allowed to have a chatzitza in a beis hastarim of a kli. Chatzitza meaning that there's something blocking. Even if you were to allow the water to get in, it wouldn't get all around because there's something blocking it. That would be permissible in the base of Starim of a Kli. However, it doesn't mean you can leave that part of the Kli outside of the water. There's a difference between not having Bias Mayim at all and having a Chatzitza. The halacha is, for instance, let's say a woman goes to the mikveh and discovers after she went to the mikveh that she had something sticky on this side of her forearm, let's say, a little part of her arm. This is Goloi, this is an exposed part of her body. And she discovered that there was a chatzitza there. There was some sort of chatzitza there. So it's on a very small part of her body. It's a miut. And therefore, mida oraisa, it's not a chatzitza. Or let's say she left one finger painted with nail polish. The rest of them were not. Right? So if she goes into the mikvah, it's on a miut of her body. It's not going to be a chatzitza on a miut of her body. Mida oraisa. Mida oraisa. Mida rabbanan will be because she's makbid about it. But mida oraisa, it's not a chatzitza. Same woman goes into the mikveh and leaves out just her fingernail from the water, the tefillah is no good midaraisa. There's a big difference between bias mayim actually having to enter the water and the din of chatzitza. Bias mayim you definitely need. Chatzitza you don't need. I remember when I was in Rav Shechter Shir, someone said, I heard that Rav Avadia Yosef holds that a woman who has a cast is allowed to just leave her arm outside of the mikvah. Rav Shechter said, no, Rav Avadia Yosef knows how to learn. Meaning that's it's ridiculous. You can't say something like that. That's not to have bias mayim, it's absurd. Yeah.
But I mean, the difference is with the kli though is that let's say with the woman, her pinky needs to be, you know, tova, but we don't know if that specific part of the kli needs to have tefillah.
Well, no. What he's saying is it's all one kli, and therefore there's no parts. If it's all one kli, just like it's all one human being, why does that part need to be tova? What if the husband says, "I'm never going to touch that part of her body," right? No, the point is, the tefillah doesn't work for the rest of her body without that. So the tefillah doesn't work for the rest of the kli unless the entire kli goes into the mikvah. It's all one kli. Now, why does he write it? Who's he writing against over here? So the one that says not this way is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe had a major kula in source number 40 over here. Rav Moshe writes in the fifth line of the major paragraph over there, he says, Aval kivan shekliza osa shnei dvarim, since this kli does two things, lamata hu makom shemunach hamachal is bashel, the bottom part is where the food actually goes to get cooked, ulamala chutei ha-electri, and the top part is where the electrical component is, shua esha mevashel, that's the fire that cooks, and they do two totally different functions. One holds the food, and one just heats the food. Sarich tefillah rak chatzi akli atachton shemasim shamamachal. Only the part that holds the food needs tvila. Umakoma elyon shesham chutei elektri ein tzarech tvila v'tzarech litbol rak chatzi hatachton v'lo elyon. V'af shekli echad hu, even though you'll tell me no, but it's one kli, ein tzarech litbol kula utelo nivtal elyon hatachton lach shavgam elyon l'klei su'uda. No, the electrical component is not called klei su'uda. It's considered an independent entity. It's not all one kli. That is the major issue. That's the major kula of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, what about the part where they connect? Right over here, right? Where the electrical component connects to the part that holds the food. So the water's not going to get onto it because the electrical component is slapped down on top of it. The water's not going to get there. So he says, yeah, but that's a beis hastarim. And by the beis hastarim, it's not a problem. Beis hastarim, a chatzitza is not going to be a problem. So as long as you dip in just past that line, so as long as you have a bias mayim, the fact that it's chotzeitz is not going to be a problem. I mean, basically what Moshe is saying, l'shitas, the people who say that it's all one big kli, so then that's not a chatzitza, because the way the kli is shaped is that this is all one big kli, and this is all the outside of the kli. But he says, according to me, that these are two separate kalim, that this black metal part over here is a separate kli from the white part that's covering the electrical part. So then, shouldn't you have to remove the black part from the white electrical part and be tovel it all? Because otherwise you can have a chatzitza? So he says, no, it's not a chatzitza because it's based on starim. So he's not worried about that either. The Rav Moshe sounds like Gvald Petula. I can't think of too many examples where it really helps, though. Meaning most of our urns, if you try to put only the part without the electrical part into the water, it's not going to help. It's going to get all over anyway. The water's going to go straight through and through all the electrical parts also. I don't know where it really is. The sandwich maker, if it would open flat, it would help, because then you'd only have to dip it down like that, but it doesn't open flat. So the only way you're going to get this part in the mikvah is by dipping it down far enough where the whole electric is going to be ruined anyway. So the eitzah, you know, it doesn't really help a great deal in terms of halacha lemaisa, this Rav Moshe. But that's what the Chalkas Yaakov is writing about. I don't know the date of the Chalkas Yaakov's tshuva, if it was in response to Rav Moshe or anything. But that's clearly what he was referring to. That kula that's out there, he says that's not going to work. So we need to find another kula. Question? Someone had a question? No? Okay. Baiter. So what's the second kula? So if you look at those bays, he says, it's Erev Shabbos. You're coming up on Shabbos. You didn't have a chance to be tovel your kelim yet. Shulchan Aruch says, give it to a guy and borrow it from the guy over Shabbos. So that way it will be a kli that belongs to a guy. It won't be chayiv in tevila. And no problem, you'll borrow it from a guy over Shabbos. What's the problem with that etzah? It's every time you buy an electric kli, give it to a guy as a matana. Tell your housekeeper there's a matana gemura to you. I'm just going to borrow it from you forever, if you don't mind. Right, so is that okay? What's the problem with that Eitzah? So there are two problems with that Eitzah. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch spoke about giving it to him for Shabbos. not giving it to him forever. That giving it to him forever, the Shulchan Aruch may not have been okay with that. That's not considered that you're really borrowing it from him. That's just a complete joke. And he brings a raya. He says, "Yesh l'tmo k'tzas al piska din de l'sho mutar l'itna la'akom b'matana mehada avod zara chaf alif de'ein maskirin len sados mishum dimafkala mimaisus." He says, plus I have another problem. You're not supposed to rent fields to a guy in order to take away the chliv of chumas and maestros from the produce that grow in the fields. Meaning, mitzvos are not things we're trying to escape. You're not supposed to do things to try to escape the chliv in a mitzvah. So he says, over here, what are you doing? I know that I'm chayiv in tefilas kelim, but I really don't want to risk it. So I'm going to give it to a guy in order to escape the mitzvah of tefilas kelim. So he says, I don't like the idea. Now, there's a big difference, though, between the case of the maestros and the case of giving the electrical kli away. But in the case of the maestros, the other option is keeping the field yourself and doing the mitzvah. Over here, what's the other option? You're still not going to do the mitzvah. You just won't use the kli. Right? You're still not going to do tefillas kelim because you can't. You can't dovel this thing. It's going to break. So it could be that that's not the strongest argument. But then he gets into a whole discussion about harama. That in general, whenever it comes to a trick to get around a mitzvah, something that's an obvious trick, the general rule is that we accept ha'arama on a din d'rabanan, not on a din d'araisa. That's why there are several rabbis, not so many, dwindling number of rabbis, that won't sell chametz gamur before Pesach, because chametz gamur is chametz mid'araisa, and the whole thing of selling to a guy is only a ha'arama. So they won't do a ha'arama, a trick, to get around a din d'oraisa, only to get around the din d'rabbanan. So that's why there's some Rav Soloveitchik wouldn't sell chametz gamur. Now every year at the Mechiras Chametz I go to with Rabbi Willig makes a big deal out of telling John Brown, this is not a trick, this is real, this is absolute. We're doing all these kinyanim because we believe that they work. If you come up with the money, all this chametz will be yours forever. Right? We make a big deal out of the fact that it's not a harama because we're actually selling plenty of chametz gamur. Now, for those rabbis that don't sell chametz gamur, we include in the shtar that no single rabbi's shtar is grouped together with the other rabbi's shtar. Meaning that just because I think that that mechira for the guy sitting next to me is possible, that shouldn't possible my mechira. And that's included in the general shtar. Okay, but that's a separate issue. So he says, giving to the guy, Chalkas Yaakov says, no good. So he's actually a pretty big machmir when it comes to electrical kalim. He has this one kula with the thing that's not even a kli that anybody uses anymore, right? But he's a pretty big machmir when it comes to most electrical kalim. What about the mechuber lekarka issue? So he quotes the mechuber lekarka issue, and he doesn't like it. He says, first of all, this is called mechuber lekarka. It's plugged into the wall right now. Look, I'm able to move it. That's what he said. Nav and nud, it's moving all over the place. That's called mechuber lekarka. Because on a string, it's connected to the wall. It's not mechuber lekarka, it's not a chibur at all. He says he doesn't buy it. He doesn't like the mechuber lekarka issue at all. Moving on, he says, but wait a second. And someone asked this before. Tuvia asked. He said that in his car, I have one of those things that you stick into like the cigarette lighter thing where the phone charger goes. So in his car, you have an actual outlet that you could stick in this kind of plug to, into an actual outlet. I don't know, I've never seen one of those in a car. He says he's got one in his car. Now, the car is not mechuber lekarka. So, you're going to tell me this can only work, the sandwich maker can only work when it's mechuber lekarka? It could work in Blisco's car. And that's not mechuber lekarka. So, isn't that a major kasha? So, he raised that kasha, not in regards to the car. They haven't... Toyota hadn't yet developed a Sienna that could do that yet, but he asked in regards to a battery pack. Let's say you had some sort of battery pack that you plug this into. That would also work, right? And it's not mechuber lekarka. So he says, yeah, but that's why by Tvilas Kalim we go basa Rov Tashmisha. And Rov Tashmisha is on mechuber lekarka. So he says, the mechuber lekarka heter is not a problem in terms of the battery pack, because Rov Tashmisha is alide mechuber lekarka. However, he says, again, and he reiterates that point in this tshuva, mechuber lekarka is only a heter for something that has no use when it's not plugged in. A hot water urn has plenty of use when it's not plugged in. The coffee machine has no use when it's not plugged in. So the Chalkas Yaakov would say the coffee machine is okay. The fact that it holds water in this little compartment on the side, this is where you put the water. So first of all, this compartment on the side is probably a separate kli, and it's plastic. the fact that it's held together, it's not even really held together by screws. It's really just a plastic unit. There are screws that hold this thing in, but it's the fact. So it's probably a separate cleat that's plastic anyway. But even so, the fact that it holds water probably would not mean that it's functional, because it doesn't have a spout. There's no way you can get the water. You wouldn't put water in something like this unless it was able to get heated up and transfer into the rest of the kli. So he reiterates that point. So then he says, okay, so I need to give you an etzah. So what are you going to do? You want to? I had a ma'aseh shaya. I bought one of those pump pot urns, you know, that you push down on the top and the hot water comes out. And I read in Debrezina Rav's tshuva. I was on the train somewhere and I was reading through Debrezina's tshuva. Tshuvas on certain things, and he says in the tshuva that with these electrical urns and all these types of kalim and the sandwich makers, things like that, he said he spoke to an expert electrician who told him, just tovel it. They say don't immerse in water, it doesn't really mean it. You could tovel it, then just leave it for a week so that the insides could dry out properly, and then you plug it in and it will be fine. So I took him at his word, I toveled it, and then I left it for a week, then I plugged it in and it didn't work. So I know a lot of people that toveled it and then plugged it in a week later and it did work. I just tell you, with me, it didn't work. So I don't know if it was broken before, but I certainly wasn't going to have the chutzpah to go back to the store and say, excuse me, you sold me a faulty product. It says don't immerse in water. When I immersed it in water, it broke, right? So you can't do something like that. So and obviously something like this, you can't immerse in water at all. So Rav Schechter, I'm just in case we don't get to it later, I'll just mention it now. Rav Schechter in Tevilas Kelim Shurim that I've heard him give in the past has said, he's quoted a phantom machlokas haposkim. I call it a phantom machlokas haposkim. Sometimes Rav Schechter will say, some poskim say this, some poskim say this. They're still working on it. They're still arguing it out. And you know that one side exists in every sefer you ever heard of, and the other side you don't know exists anywhere. That means it's his shita. Right, that means that's what he holds. So he quotes Machlokas HaPoskim. He says, yes, yeah, some poskim say electrical kalim need to be tovled, and others say that if it can't work if it's tovled, so the only way you can use it, it can't be used if it's tovled, so then it doesn't need tevila mikol v'kol. It doesn't even require tevila. So I couldn't find any posik on the books that says that. The Sefer Tevilas Kalim that shakes out every single posik that ever lived doesn't say that. Rav Schechter apparently holds that way. And I've asked other people, they said, yeah, that's what he tells people to say there, that you don't need to tovel electrical kalim, because if it can't work in any other way other than by breaking it, meaning if you can't tovel it without breaking it, so then mela, it's not going to require Tevilas Kalim. So it sounded like a very madness svara. What does that mean? So just the mitzvah goes away just because, God thought every human being is entitled to a Keurig and a sandwich maker, like, and without it we can't live, and therefore the mitzvah can go away, we'll compromise on the mitzvahs for it. Well, what's the svara? So I don't think that's the svara. I think the idea is that the iser that Chazal made to use a kli, again, the iser hishtamshus in the kli, is only an iser drabanan. To use a kli that hasn't been toveled, mistama they were only gozer that iser on a type of kli, meaning he's assuming on a type of kli that wouldn't get destroyed in the water. That's what he's assuming is the ikar takana. That's the best I can come up with in terms of what the svara might be. That if you assume, like the Yeshua's Yaakov, that there are two different dinim, there's a mitzvah of tefillah in general, and that's a daraisa, but the din drabanan of don't use a kli that hasn't been toveled. Well, that din drabanan, they were never gozer on a situation where the kli itself would get destroyed, yeah?
Does that include the
urn? What?
Does that include the
hour? I think so, yeah.
References that like if you or whatever, it's just a halakha that if you make it yourself, then you know that's your kli, therefore it doesn't require tefillah, right? So why can't we just take away like a screw?
Okay, so good. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I forgot to mention that one of the etzos that's suggested by the poskim is have a Jew make the kli, meaning break it and have a Jew fix it, and then it's the Jew that made the kli, and maybe it's not going to require tefillah's kalim. The thing you need to be careful about that is, if you just remove a screw from it and put it back, that's not called that you made it. You need someone to take it apart in a way that it can't be put together by people like me and you. That you would need an uman, you would need someone who's a professional to put it back together. Because that's not called making a kli if it's, because you can't make a sandwich maker. You're not capable. I can't make a sandwich maker. So it's not called making the kli when it breaks in a way that anyone could just, you know, it's like, oh no, it's broken. Look, now it's fixed. That's not called fixing the kli if anyone could go do it. It has to be called, it's only called broken if it's broken in a way, it only loses shame kli if it's broken in a way that, you know, not any fool could just put it back together.
Surely we could all make them if we had, like, you know, instructions. So what's the difference?
Right. So you would need someone who's trained to do it. When I was in Kerem Diavna, the posuk of the yeshiva of Rubinstein Shlita got training in how to take apart sandwich makers. He would he had this massive table, and you'd go see your sandwich maker in 1,000 pieces, and he would sit there and put it all back together again, just so the Americans could have their grilled cheese. And he would, right, but he got training in how to take it apart and put it back together, because you need a Maisa Uman who's going to be able to put it back together. So that would be an Eitza if there were Jewish electricians who can do it, if there were a big enough supply of Jewish electricians who didn't charge you too much to be able to do that. That would be an Eitza. We'll discuss some more Eitzas. Yeah.
Only made it zero on things that wouldn't get ruined with water. Was there a material back then that would not get ruined in water? Like, I can only think of electricity that way.
Right. I don't know. That would get ruined in water. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I know that when I had that maiso, the hot water thing, I went and I asked Rav David Weinberger, because I was the assistant rabbi in Shari Tefillah at the time. So I asked Rav David Weinberger, you know, what I'm supposed to do, and he said, if a taka broke, so then it doesn't require tefillas kelim. He said exactly like Rav Shachter, and I thought it was wild. I had never heard that before in my life, but I got a psak. I went and I bought another one. I didn't do tefillas kelim on the second one. And my mother-in-law bought me the first one. I had to buy the same exact one and pretend that was the same one. Okay. Any other Eitzah? So the Chalkas Yaakov has the following Eitzah. He says, look, if you could spot where the water is getting in, so there is a halacha that something that's, let's put it this way. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, when a woman goes to the mikvah, she can't be holding her friend's hand when she goes into the mikvah, right? Let's say, though, her friend put her hand in the mikvah first, so her hand was wet, and then they hold hands, right? So now, it's not going to be chatzitza. Why? Because in between their hands is water, because their hands were wet beforehand, right? So, and that water connects to the water in the rest of the mikvah. Similarly, when you're tovelin kelim, we're going to discuss hopefully at some point next week, when you're tovelin kelim, you if you just hold the kli and put your hand in the water, that's no good, because the part where your hand is holding is not getting wet, right? So what do you need to do? So if you take the kli, put it in water with one hand, and then put your other hand in the water and grab onto it, right, with the other hand on a different part of the kli, that would be okay. Why? Because there is water in between your hand and the handle now, and that water is connected to the water through ashaka, connected to the water in the rest of the mikvah. We're going to discuss, what about doing the following? Can you stick your hand in the mikvah, pull your hand out, and now your hand is wet, and tovel that way? It's a major discussion in the poskim, whether you can do that. But because once the water is removed from the mikvah, it might not be able to connect anymore, so simply. So that's a major discussion. But so says the Yeshuas Yaakov, says the Chalkas Yaakov, rather, if you can find the area where the water is getting in, and you can put something that's moist on that area, let's say there's a hole where very clearly, see, this type of thing, the water is probably getting in everywhere. It's not watertight, right? But an urn is watertight. It's just there's one place about where the electrical goes in, that the where the outlet, where the plug goes, that the water all gushes right through that. So if you can stuff that area with a moist cloth that was wetted from mikvah water, that moist cloth, then it's going to be through ashaka, it's going to connect to the rest of the mikvah water, and the water won't go gushing in, and that will protect it somewhat. It will be moist a little bit, but the water won't gush in to the point that it will destroy it. That's his suggestion. He says if that doesn't work, because even that moisture is no good, he says maybe you could take some wax, stick it into that area. Like if you've seen those pump out urns, there's the part that the plug goes, one side of the plug goes into the wall, and the other side of the plug plugs into the actual pot. Right where that plug goes in, that's where all the water is going to come rushing in. Right, that's what's going to destroy it. So if you could take some wax and put some wax in that area and leave it there for 7 days, be mevatel it there for 7 days, so he says it could be that it becomes batel to the kli, it becomes part of the kli, and then it's not going to be chatzitza. And then after 7 days, you take it out. And he says, I'm willing to rely on this because it's only midrabanan anyway. It's only chatzitza midrabanan. Because a chatzitza, as I may or may not have mentioned before, a chatzitza midaraisa in tevila is only if it covers rov of the body. So Gemara Maseches Sukkah, davav, if it covers rov of the body or the item, and it's something you're makbid on that you don't want there. If, meaning, for a woman's tevila to be pasul midaraisa, she would literally need to take a mud bath before her tevila. It would have to be something that covers rov of her body and is something she wouldn't want there. But if it's one or the other, then it's only chatzitza midrabanan. If it's something that covers a minority of the kli or the body, and you don't want it there, then it's only chatzitza midrabanan. So he says, anyway, there's only chatzitza midrabanan. And you're mevatel it there, so maybe it becomes part of the kli. If you're mevatel it there for 7 days, so that's the etza that he wants to give. Now, in terms of the coils, the poskim are those coil things that Rabbi Pressman used to use. Those the poskim are both in the Betzalel Chachmah, Betzalel Stern, as well as in Mishnah Halachos from Menashe Klein. They both are makel with the coils, and they taina that since the coil doesn't function as a kli at all, what it functions as is a fire. It doesn't function as a kli. It's like taking a hot coal and sticking it in your coffee to make your coffee hot. It doesn't function as a kli in any way, therefore it wouldn't have a shame kli in regards to tevilas kelim. That's what they want to taina. If that's true, then when it comes to the Keurig, if what's bothering you is the fact that there's a coil hidden somewhere in there that's heating up the water, then l'chorah, that shouldn't be a problem. Because the coil itself doesn't have shame kli if you accept that psak. The other heter you have with the coils is that if you're allowed to have a chatzitza by a beis hastarim, so it's possible that a beis hastarim, that a problem in the beis hastarim is not going to be mechayiv of the whole kli tevila. That if the only part of the kli that has metal is in the beis hastarim, then it's not going to require tevila for the entire kli. So the only part of the kli that could require tefillah is in the base of starim over here, so it's not going to require tefillah for the whole kli. My brother thought of that svara, told it to Rav Nata Greenblatt. Rav Nata Greenblatt agreed, and he said that's why these things don't require tefillah as kelim. That's why you can have them in your home. Okay, I'll stop there.